As we come today, we're in Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin in verse 14 through verse 30. We have been going through a series in the Acts ministry study of why we're a little bit different church than some typical Southern Baptist churches is that we don't have a nominating committee. We believe that the Lord has given each and every individual believer a gift or gifts, as we will see today, and that we are to use those gifts to serve in His kingdom, to worship Him and to point others to Him, to proclaim the glorious message of the gospel, and that each one of us have a place within the body that we are called and gifted and set apart to serve in, and that with that we need to find that place and we need to begin to serve and we need to begin to worship Him and be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that idea of being a servant is not a real popular topic in the world we live in today. We like to be served, but we don't like to serve necessarily. But Jesus said that I have come to serve, and if you are like me, you will follow my example that you will serve others just as I have. And with that, you know, I want to come to our study today as we're at near the end of the book of Matthew, and this parable kind of dovetails as a second part of our study from last week in chapter 20, but it is a little bit different, but yet very similar. Jesus is coming near his time of going to the cross, is near his death. He's been trying to prepare his disciples for that time to come when he will not be here, and in preparation for the time that he will come. He has told them that we must watch for him to come and wait for him to come. But I want to tell you, as we hear those words, we should watch. You know, watching is really more of an action verb in the sense of you're doing something, preparing for something, for someone. So you're watching for someone and you're not just sitting there daydreaming. And I'm afraid when we sit on these pews, a lot of times we get caught daydreaming and drifting and struggling with understanding and seeing the Lord's will for our lives because we're not watching expectantly and waiting for him in the sense that he could come at any moment and that we're not prepared for him. The first parable here, the first part of the chapter, is the wise virgins. And it talks about those five who prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, and then those who were not prepared. And so he's given a contrast here as he goes through these parables, and even the one after this one with the goats and the sheep. He's talking about a difference here. Now, we know that as followers of Christ, we are called and set apart to be different from those of the world. But I'll tell you, we get so caught up in the world a lot of times that we don't look very different. We don't act very different. And because of the business of our time in the world, we don't devote a lot of time to the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him and serve him in his kingdom either. And so Jesus tells this parable to those that are closest to him, but there are others sitting around. So it was a lesson for them at the time, but it's also multiple lessons for us today too, to learn from and to try to challenge ourselves to be faithful and to follow the Lord, even when there's times we question or not sure. I want to just go ahead and tell you, I'm not afraid about what's going on with Good News Club, with the fact that we have very few workers. I'm just praying, Lord, you are an on-time God, and you will provide all that's needed. You didn't open this door for us to fall flat here without enough help to make it happen, for things to happen. But he's got to work in the hearts and lives of people, not only in this church, but in churches around his community. It's not just our responsibility to do this. There's other churches we're asking to pray and participate and to join us in this. But I'm trusting God that he is going to provide everything that's needed from every worker, and that prayerfully the hearts of the workers will be in a way that we come with a joy like what we read about in these first couple of workers today, not the last. And so as we read this morning, verse 14 of chapter 25 in Matthew, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went out, went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." You know, as Jesus is telling this story, I want you to notice the first thing. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country." Jesus knew he was about to go on a journey. He was about to leave this earth and go to heaven, and he was going to be apart from his disciples for a period of time. And then with that, he's trying to prepare them and challenge them and say, listen, in this story, I am that one that leaves and goes to a far country. And so he's telling a story about himself with us. And so he's challenging us how we are to respond when he leaves. He was challenging his early disciples he was speaking to, but he's challenged us too in the fact that we've never seen Jesus directly, that we have believed by faith that he is Lord, and we have turned from our sin and been forgiven of our sins through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his shed blood, we're saved. And so as he is speaking to them and challenging us, the thing that we see is he gives talents to 3 different servants. Now, a talent, if you're wondering, it's not a coin. A lot of times people want to think it's a coin that he gave them, but actually it's a weight or measure of silver or gold or copper. It could have been any of these precious metals. But the thing that you also understand is the estimates are that 1 talent was worth about 20 years worth of wages. And so we talked last time about the denarius, which was worth about 20 cents, which they work for every day. Now here he's giving them stewardship over this. He's saying, I want you to use this wisely to take care of yourselves and to work. And I want a great harvest from this when I come back. And he's expecting that. They understand that. They know their master. And so he leaves them with 1 with 5, 1 with 2, and 1 with 1 talent. Now, you question why he would give 1 much more than the others and why he would give the second one even more than the third. It's because each one of us are given gifts and abilities, or a gift and ability. And you see, as he gave to the 5, he gave to the one who had great gifts and great abilities, and he was able to take that, and it says that he was very industrious, and he took that and he doubled it. And even the second one, he had a little bit of abilities there. And so he took the two that he had there and he doubled it too because he was industrious. But the third servant had a little bit of ability, just minimal bit of ability. And he took that talent and he buried it and he hid it, waiting for his master to return. You know, the Lord doesn't give us more than we're capable of handling. If you wonder sometimes why maybe you have always had a lot of money and had made a lot of money and all these things, well, as he's talking about money here, that's not even the primary object, even though we'll talk about that a little bit, is that he gives to us as we're able to steward and handle and we're able to be good stewards of. And so for the first one, he gave him a lot because he was able to handle a lot. For the second one, he gave him a little bit, and he was able to handle that. For the last one, he gave him enough to take care of him for his needs, and then he squandered it, it seems, as well. And so we look at what the Lord's doing here. He knows who we are because we're created in his image. He created us. He sustains us, and he knows who we are in him. And so as we look at this story here, it says that after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We live in many ways, we say with our lips, it's like, we know the Lord's coming again. And for even non-believers, they'll say, yeah, you Christians have been saying for over 2,000 years, the Lord's going to come again, but he's not coming back. He's dead. But for Christians, we said he was dead, but he's alive and he's in heaven. And one day he's promised he's going to come back. We know that in our mind and we say it with our lips. But let me just say how we live it. We live it like those pagans out there that think he's dead. He ain't ever coming back. So we can live and do however we choose, or we can not do what we want to do or don't want to do and do only what we want to do. You see, that's typically what happens. People do what they want to do and they don't do what they don't want to do. But that's not what the Lord's saying here. He's saying, go and watch and wait and be working as we're waiting. You know, we read in the scriptures too about those who sat around and they wouldn't work and they said, well, the Lord's going to return and so there's no point in working and we're going to be with him and he's going to take care of us. And Paul made it clear. It's like, look, if you don't work, you go hungry. But the other part of it is you're a disgrace to the kingdom of God. You're a disgrace to God. Is that we need to be working and providing the needs for ourselves there as we can, as we're physically able to for our daily needs. But we also need to be working in the kingdom, preparing for the time that Jesus is going to return. But it says here that after a long time, he came back and he came to settle accounts. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to be a happy day when Jesus comes to settle accounts for a lot of people. You know, when you read about in the book of Joel, that great day of the Lord, you read it with a sense of terror. Because, you know, even though we do works and we do it in love for the Lord, not trying to earn our salvation, we understand that every one of us falls short. And that with that, it's going to be a great day of tribulation as that trial comes, as we hear the judgment of the Lord. And let me just say this too, while a lot of people can give a lot of good excuses to their pastor, to the Sunday school teacher, to their deacons, to others about why they can't be somewhere, why they can't do this, and why they can't help in the kingdom, why they can't work and serve the Lord, is that may fly here on earth, but nobody's going to stand up and want to throw excuses to King Jesus as judge, juror, as he stands, as we stand before him. Nobody's going to give rebuttals of excuses, because just like this master, he knows all things and he's going to know the truth as we share with him. Says here in verse 20, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him in verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, as we read that, there's just a smile kind of comes to your face. And a lot of us sitting there reading that thinking, boy, I want to hear that one day. And we've heard preachers preach that over and over again, that when the Lord comes or I stand before him, I just want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, let me just say this. It doesn't happen because you sat around and you sat in church and you heard sermons and you heard somebody teach the Bible and you can quote scripture because you've learned a lot and you've learned to know all this knowledge. but you've never applied the Word of God to your life, and you've never fully lived it, and you've never served the Lord Jesus Christ. All those things are a part of worship. And He is worthy of all of our worship. And so with that, it says that he was excited, and that you can just sense here that he had been waiting expectantly on the Lord to return. He had an intimate relationship with this master of his, and he was waiting excited to say, listen, look how I've been blessed. Look how I've blessed you, because this is yours. I've just been a steward over this, but God blessed, and now it's double what you gave me. You gave me 5 talents, now there are 10 here. And he was just waiting to see the master's face and with a joy and excitement on it, because you know what? As he was serving, as he was making those trades, as he was working in the kingdom, there was joy in his heart and a smile on his face when he was working too. You see, there's a lot of times, as we mentioned about, well, I got to go do this down at the church. Or I got kind of wrangled into this and I don't really want to do it, but I feel obligated now. You know, and I'm going to save face with everybody at the church, as I'm going to go down and do my Christian duty. You see, if you're walking around here with attitude, it's like you're doing God a favor by showing up to do something, to serve Him, you got it all wrong. You see, the greatest blessing or favor that you could have ever received is when He went to the cross and died for your sins and rose again. And He said that if you'll turn to Him and place your faith and trust in Him, He will save you. And He gave us that promise. And that hope that if we place our faith in Him, we have eternal life. But let me say, a lot of people rest right there. They just stop right there. They fail to listen when He says, go and make disciples, preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. And with that, they fail to fulfill the commandments of God. They want the blessing. They want salvation. But they don't want to be in the presence of God to worship Him and serve Him in that sense. And that's what we're going to see in just a moment. So this one, first one, he is extremely excited. And he just couldn't wait to tell him. And so the Lord commends him and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And not only that have you done well here, I will make you ruler over many things. And then the greater blessing over being over things is enter into the joy of your Lord. You see, the lesson today is not about money per se. There's a lot of times the Lord gives us money and we misuse it. But what is really the lesson here is about having joy in the Lord. There's joy in serving the Lord. You know, a lot of times it's more guilt when you're sitting there knowing I could be involved, I should be involved, I have opportunity to be involved, but I've chosen not to. And so there's a sense of feeling of guilt there. And sometimes people try to get upset with others saying, well, they're trying to make me feel guilty. Or that preacher's preaching. Let me tell you, if you get guilty today, it's called the Holy Spirit. God's word is getting a hold of you, and the Holy Spirit's getting a hold of you. It's not what I've said. It's not about me or trying to guilt you here today. It's about the Spirit of God convicting you of your laziness. And so here he says, the second one came along too, and he said, he also, in verse 22, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, as we hear that, it's exactly the same commendation. And you sit there and say, well, you know, the guy with 5 talents, he's got 10 now. So he did better in the eyes of the world because he's got way more talents he's given back to the Lord. Look what he did for the Lord. See, this is the problem we have a lot of times when we start looking around and we start trying to compare ourselves to one another. And sometimes we get just intimidated by like, well, I just don't have the gifts and abilities of this person. Or we get discouraged, or else we get jealous because it's like, well, Lord, why aren't you giving them this opportunity? Why aren't you kind of glorifying them or lifting them up in some sense? And I'm trying to please you too. I'm trying to be obedient to you. But see, that's not what it's about. It's about not that they had equal abilities and talents, but it's that they had equal opportunity to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a blessing to Him serving in His kingdom. And He told them the same commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the few things, and I'll give you many things. to be over, to steward over, but enter into the joy of your Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. As we notice here in these first two, these are two faithful servants. And in that commendation, he's saying, enter into the joy of your Lord. I want to ask you today, is he your Lord through faithful commitment and obedience today in serving him? Or is he just your Lord because you say he saved you? Here is a difference. There's a difference in the attitude in which you come to worship him. There's a difference in the attitude in which you try to serve him. And there's a difference in the attitude in how you live your life before him and before others. And it's not pleasing to God. And we're going to see a second example here now, and this third one of an unfaithful servant. It says in verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. You see, there's a whole different tone here, even as we read this in Scripture. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You can just read and understand the English as we read it in our English Bibles to read here and understand there's a total different posture on this third servant. First, he accuses him of being a hard master, a hard man. He also basically accuses him of being unfair in the fact that he gathers from where he did not scatter. And in other words, he's claiming of taking what does not belong to you. Let me just say this. Everything belongs to the Lord, as we read in Psalm 24 and studied a couple of weeks ago. Everything in all creation, you and I and everything in this earth belongs to him. So he has every right as the owner and creator of it to take what is his. And so with that, he's challenging, saying he's making an excuse of why he did not do anything. But he says, I knew you to be hard, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And then he says too, I was afraid. And let me just say this, folks. We should have a reverent fear and awe of the Lord. We understand the Bible says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. And so with that, there should be a reverent fear of the Lord. But that's not the fear he's talking about here. He's saying basically, I feared you because I saw you to be someone who was unfair, that was extremely hard, and it took things that didn't belong to you. So he's making these accusations against him to try to justify while he sat and did nothing. Folks, I want to say sometimes we can be like this steward right here in our little pity parties that we have, and our whining and complaining, as we begin to get our eyes off the Lord and we begin to look at others and say, well, Lord, why are they being blessed and I'm not being blessed? Why do they have certain things and I don't have them? You know, as I recommitted my life to the Lord years ago, it was in a revival, and the preacher was preaching about tithing. Now, that's not normally a subject that you think about when you're preaching about being a cheerful giver, that you think, well, this is just going to draw me to the Lord. I'm going to recommit my life to the Lord because, you know, all of a sudden there's just something in that message. But let me just say, the word of God does not return void, and the Spirit of God works in our lives differently in each and every one of us in exactly the way the Lord's created us and what we hear and how it challenges us. But what he said was, too, is when your neighbor pulls in and they're driving a brand new Mercedes, and you kind of look at it and say, well, praise the Lord, what a blessing they've received. Instead of, well, Lord, I work hard too and I deserve one. Why didn't I get one? Or for some of you guys, when he pulls in a brand new Chevrolet truck, I would say a Ford, but they might not be able to pull that boat, and that brand new bass boat. And instead of being jealous, you look at it and you say, praise be. You know why? You praising the Lord. The Lord gave him that blessing. And the other part, too, is you know that person and that heart of that person to be this, is that when the Lord's blessed them, they're going to use that to be a blessing to you. Because a lot of times in that bass boat, there's extra seats there and there'll be some extra rods, too, and you might get to go fishing with them. And so you're praising God for your friend, your neighbor, they've been blessed, instead of being upset or jealous. You know, and so the thing is he's challenging here. This man here is using every excuse under the sun to try to justify his unfaithfulness. Now, folks, I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in our congregation and in churches today that are living between verses 18 and 19. It says, but he who had the one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And then after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. We've hidden our talent, our talents. We've hidden our abilities in the sense of we've buried them, whether physically or emotionally or spiritually or all of the above. Is that we basically said to God, is I'm afraid of you, or I'm not going to serve you. Because the other side, it's not only does he say he's afraid of him, but it's clear too that he actually hates his master. And you know, when you love your master, you love someone, you're going to try to serve them. You're going to be and serve with a joy in your heart too, not an I have to do this kind of attitude. And so said he was afraid, and he went and hid the talent in the ground. And he said, here, what's there you have what is yours. But notice how the Lord answers, and I want you to mark verse 26 and save this and hold on to this. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You ever wonder why when you're struggling along and you're robbing God and you tithe and you're not giving at least that 10%, you're not giving an offering above that as a love offering? You see, as we give to Janie Chapman today, that's not a tithe. That gift of state missions, that is above and beyond the tithe. If you question what a tithe is 10%. Say, for instance, you make $1,000 a week or $1,000 a month. $100 of that, the first of that $1,000 goes straight to the Lord as a tithe. And anything and everything that you give above that is called an offering. So we've talked a little bit about money now, about tithing. But what I'm really focusing on here is this. These two that were faithful, he said, enter into the joy of your Lord. But for this third servant, he gets condemned here. He first of all identifies him and speaks the truth to him and said, you are a wicked and lazy servant. As I said before, every one of us here wants to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But that's not what he heard. And unfortunately for a lot of us sitting here today, we're not going to hear that when we stand before the Lord either. We're going to hear what this one heard. You wicked and lazy servant. You know why? Because he refused to obey the commands of the Lord. You see, when you look at it, you think, well, he handed back to him what was his. He didn't rob him. He didn't take anything from him. Yes, he did. Because he didn't take what he was given to steward over and use it within the kingdom and for the kingdom, and he didn't multiply it in that sense. The Lord multiplies it, but he didn't even try to see if the Lord would bless and do those things. He did nothing. And so he's condemned for doing nothing. And in the church today, when about 10% of all the congregation, people within the church, does 90% or more of the work within the body of Christ in the church, is you've done nothing. And you won't have to stand before me and give excuses. You're going to stand before the Lord one day and there'll be no excuse. So I'm challenging you as a brother and sister in Christ not to hear this last part that this wicked servant heard in verse 30. It's very sobering. It says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, it sounds a lot like where all these people stood before the Lord and they said, we did this and we did that in your name. And he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. You see, we can profess whatever we want with our mouths, and we can believe in our minds and try to justify why we don't try to help people that are in need. Or we can try to talk about the theology of perseverance is why we're lazy and we don't go and do anything within the kingdom. So I'm just trying to persevere, and I'm going to persevere in the Lord. Let me just say this. He said, go. Be active. Get up and go and do the things of the kingdom. Go and proclaim the message of the gospel. Go and help those who are hurting. Go and help those who are in need. You remember where he says, these things you did in my name? And they said, Lord, we don't remember. He said, you gave them water and you helped them in their time of need. You see, if you want to hear of well done, good and faithful servant, as many of us claim to want to hear, we've got to get involved in serving him as part of worship. And everything we do, whether it's the giving of our tithes and our offerings, whether it's the studying of our Bible, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in serving and helping in those that are in need in a ministry, everything we do is an act of worship to God. So that means everything we don't do is sin against God. Now, I'm not trying to challenge you and, hey, well, Lord, I'm going to do all these works so I can just add to my crown these ways. It's not about that. These others serve the Lord with joy because of their love for him. And let me say the question for us today, and am I really ready for Jesus to return? Is am I serving the Lord and am I serving others because of my love for him? Maybe you need to think about those two questions today. This is a time we're all being challenged, not just to put your name on a list, to sign up for a ministry and never show up, but to actually get involved and make a difference in your life and the life of others as you grow in that relationship with the Lord, serving him, worshiping him in different areas with the gifts and talents and abilities you have that the Lord's given to you, that you too may hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray.